And welcome back to another episode of Over the Glass. I am your co-host, Nessa.
I am the other co-host, Jay.
And I am the other co-host, Drew.
So, switching it up a little bit here, but we got some topics to talk about. Should we start with Devin Cooley and how awesome he's been, even though the Sharks suck?
Devin Cooley. He just makes me all kinds of happy, because if you're a kid growing up in the Bay, like, the dream is, you know, you're looking up to all these professional athletes, and maybe that's like your thing, and you hope that one day represent the team that you're rooting for, and he's doing that for us. He might be a little hard on himself at times, but he's doing it. He talked about the first NHL start he would have on home ice, talking about how he almost ate it when he was going onto the ice as a backup, almost ran into the Shark head. But he talked about how he was going to try not to do that again. And I didn't get to see him come through the head last night, but I imagine he had a blast. I can only imagine how cool it is to be in his shoes.
Skates.
The Sharks were doing really great until they weren't, and that's kind of the season that we've been having. But Cooley, you know, he was interviewed after the game, and I get it. You want to be there for the team. You want to be, you know, solid in net, and I hope, you know, the experience will be more of his memory of that night than everything else that came about to give the Hawks the win. But I guess we'll see at the end of the season if he is signed to the team for next season. But until then, I'm just having a blast, just kind of like living vicariously through this kid who grew up less than 10 minutes away from where the Sharks play, grew up through the Junior Shark program, and has found his way back and had all his family in the crowd. So very rude of the Hawks to just kind of ruin that for him. So thanks a lot. I had to see a very sad mom.
She was crying.
In the stands.
Oh no!
She was crying, the poor thing. Because he was so close to getting his first NHL win, and then the stupid Hawks tied it with like 40 seconds left in the game, and they cut to a shot of his family, and she's like wiping tears away. It's so sad. It's like, I feel it. I didn't even watch the whole game, but I feel it.
The Blackhawks
sad mom tears
continue to do psychological damage to just, you know, just regular people. The Blackhawks should start doing better by everybody at this. You're making moms cry. No.
So rude.
Villain origin story right there. It's like sad moms in the stands. Just.
That sounds like a good band name. Sad moms.
Sad moms in the stands.
Okay, but like, in your opinion, I haven't been able to catch either of his games, really. Or maybe the last one I was able to catch some of it. But I only caught maybe like 5 minutes of last night's game. How well did he play? Like, how much of it really was just the Sharks' defense collapsing and leaving him out to dry?
I like the tying goal was very fluky. It came from behind the net, and he had talked about it post game about how he didn't even know how it slipped through. So I just feel like it's one of those unfortunate situations where he looked like he was everywhere he needed to be. He was a little like he'd get out of his crease more than he should have. And I just think that he's like, you know, trying to not be in his head so much. And it's, you know, it is very nerve-wracking to be put in that situation. And I think you can only get better at that with experience. And so for him only being in there for his second start, I thought he looked pretty decent. Now, the Sharks came out like really strong. Like, I think we went into like the second, like two up or something like that. And then we like scored a couple more. And then, you know, the Hawks started coming back. And, you know, like you kind of have to look at it from the reality that these are two of the bottom teams in the league. Like, neither one of us is good. So, but at this level, between the two of us, it was a really exciting game. But, you know, I feel like, regardless of, like, I don't recall any sort of goals ever scored where I'm like, Cooley was way out of position or anything like that. But it's like, especially with like a baby goalie like that, the Sharks do have to kind of step up for him, you know? And I just think the Hawks had Mrazek. He's a veteran. He, like, there were certain saves where I'm just like, oh, that could have been it. And he just has that experience that he's able to continue to stay focused even when his team is down 4-0. Like, he has that mental, like, capacity to not allow that to, like, seep in, you know, versus, a brand new goalie that's trying not to think about that. But it's like, oh, my God, it's like, you can't help but feel that pressure to help your team out and have a really great game.
It's like getting his first NHL win at home when his whole family's there.
It would have been such storybook a Hallmark moment. Fairy tale ending.
Yeah.
Too bad. Instead of turning to a horror story.
And those, like, those sports stories too, like that's the great thing about sports, right? Is like most of the time the storylines write themselves. Like, that would have been such an excellent little, like, sort of, I don't want to say asterisk, but like a sort of thing that like Cooley could have been like this is how it started. Like, I got my first dub like on home ice, like, for me, because like home ice comes with him, but like with so much more weight than it just being like where the Sharks play, right? So like if he would have ended up with a dub like on home ice and like with his parents in the crowd, like, what a brilliant, brilliant story that would have been, like, sports story, you know? So damn you, Chicago.
Yeah.
We can't have nice things ever.
See, I'm more angry at the Hawks than I am about the Sharks. Because I'm like, I was rooting for this awesome story to write itself, and instead you have to come in and ruin everything.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this hockey season anymore. I'm just like not even paying attention anymore at this point. But we're at the bottom of the standings, like, legit. How many points out now? I can't remember.
I think we've got like 30 points. Wow. I remember they were showing a graphic. I must have seen it post game or through scrolling on Twitter and whatever. It's whatever, you know, like this whole, we're just kind of having to get to the end of the season. And with every loss that comes about, it's just one step closer to, you know, we're looking forward to the draft. And I, you know, any other game, I would have been okay with the Sharks' loss as long as they kind of like put a lot of heart into it and just didn't get like steamrolled and, you know, and look like they weren't caring anymore. Like, as long as they're trying, and there's a lot of highlights. Like, I mean, the first four goals were scored by Zetterlund and Thomas Bortolo. These are the up and coming guys. And it's been really great to see Thomas Bortolo progressing, because the past few seasons we've had him come up, it's like the first time was like, oh, really cool, you know, prospect, gets a couple of games in, you know, he's put around veterans, and he, you know, he had that one, what was that one game where he scored, what was it, like a shootout or something? And it was like that whole epic. Yeah. And then the next season, it's like he came up for a couple more games and still good, but you could tell that he wasn't ready to be up at the big club for like a full season. Spent the time down in the CUDA, then also spent majority of the season down in the CUDA and, you know, comes up over the last like couple of games with injuries and everything like that. And he looks like he's ready to go now. Just the way that he's moving, the way that he doesn't look like he's three or four steps behind the play. Like, you can tell he knows what he wants to do and he's doing it. And he did it in the first and second period. Freaking Zetterlund just like on his game. Him and Eklund are just like synced up like crazy. It's real. You know, like, I'm here for the good vibes this season and seeing these kids that, something we're going to get around to a little later in this episode, it's really infuriating to me that people are being so, so critical of this team during a rebuild that for years everyone has been talking about, like, God, Sharks should really go on a rebuild. It's like, now that we're here, and it's like, oh, what are the Sharks doing?
Why wait? It's so annoying. Just get into it. Get into it. Roll right into it.
Go off, Jay. Go off.
So, Pierre McGuire apparently has this podcast that he started with some other dude it hasn't even been like a year yet, I want to say. I looked up, like, when did you guys start this thing? And it's so annoying because, like, we've had to see it all season that people are talking about the Sharks like, wow, we must be doing everything wrong. And it's like, we just become this like laughing stock in a way. And I had mentioned like a couple of episodes back when it was just like me and Nessa, where I'm like, you know, why aren't the Hawks getting the same sort of, from my perspective, maybe I'm just not seeing it because like my, you know, my algorithm is not exactly like
Hawks friendly.
I don't want any Hawks content. So maybe I, you know, benefit of the doubt, maybe I'm just not seeing it. But then, you know, the writing's on the wall. It's the simple answer that we did not get the generational player. So the Hawks, even though they did this, they did the thing, what, two seasons ago where they got rid of Kane, they got rid of, well, Taze wasn't able to play or whatever.
To bring Kane, I think.
Yeah, like the last couple of seasons. Like, they legit were like, nope, we can't do anymore. We need to start over. And they just were like, all these dudes that mean anything, like, goodbye. Just leave. And
everyone was for it, right? Well, they have to do this because they have to rebuild.
And, you know, they were in a position where, well, we used to have Doug Wilson. And there were certain things that Doug Wilson did that are, now we're paying the price for it, where we've had to move these guys, despite the fact that they have these very friendly player contracts. And I want to say that the Hawks didn't really have that issue. So they, you know, however they did it, they were able to just like, oh, get everything off this table, we're starting new, versus when we're doing it, and it's like, well, we can't quite do that because we're tied to all these guys. And we've had to, you know, slowly move things along over the last couple of seasons. And there isn't the most like team friendly way to do that. Because as we were talking just, you know, before we hopped on, that despite your desire that when we moved Timo Meier, when we moved Erik Karlsson, you know, Tomas Hertl, everyone's hoping that you get something really great in return. So I get that. So it doesn't hurt as much. And then you can look forward to like the future. But I still feel like the Timo trade, I would do it again. I think, like we've talked about, like Zetterlund's been really great this season. It was a little like uncertain when we got him in like halfway through the season, but that's just how things are in general with any players coming into, you know, to a new organization. And then, you know,
got
with like
drafted Musty. Did you see the news from last night? He just reached 100 points. I forgot what league he plays for. ECHL.
And freaking Will Smith got a rooster trick during his tournament.
Yeah, won the championship.
There's all these really great things. But apparently, going back to why I'm ranting about this, it's so triggering to me when I see non-Sharks media. And I mean that in a way that I'm not saying like, oh, I want people to just make me feel better, you know, with Sharks-centric media. Like, Sharks media can also be very, like, you know, critical of the team. So we're not, like, being homers in how we project the content and you know, all that stuff. But I just feel like most of Sharks, non-Sharks media are just looking at one or two things, like the very surface level of things and being like, what is going on? Like, oh, look, they have no veteran presence. Like, they're going to make all these players, these young players come up with no, you know, support. And like, their rebuild looks terrible. It's like, no, our rebuild looks terrible to you because we don't have a nice little Connor Bedard distraction. Because the Hawks are freaking doing the same goddamn thing.
Yeah, and not to come after the Hawks is like I love to do, but it is interesting, right? Because like when you bring that up, Jay, like the Hawks have been in kind of a weirdly like really weird predicament at points this season. Like when the Corey Perry thing happened, and they were like so in need of help because the Corey Perry incident happened, and then like Taylor Hall was out too, like where they had to go and like dig through the crates of the NHL to find bodies to wear a jersey and like skate for them. So it's like if you're gonna apply like to the being critical to the Sharks, some of the stuff that the Blackhawks have been doing, like you said, they have that fancy little Connor Bedard distraction. But there's been moments in this season in particular where the Blackhawks have been completely SOL. They're like, this guy can skate. He can move his feet. He's a big dude. Hey, do you want to come play for us for league minimum? Because we have no other options. Like, rebuilds, I know because the Canucks went through a very terrible one because of who we had at the helm of our organization. Rebuilds aren't fun. And I think, like, the expectation for some people is that they have, like we're going to get, like, we're going to draft these prospects. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, all these guys are going to come in here immediate and make an impact. And that just, it doesn't work that way. And I think it's wild to slag down any team that's clearly in the middle of a rebuild. And from the outside looking in, I think how the Sharks are approaching it is a pretty, like, common sense good strategy, right? Like, you're drafting young prospects. You're letting them develop. They're doing great things in the league where they're at. And even if the Sharks are getting dunked on at moments, you're also not, like, scraping the bottom of the league barrel and like, hey, we really need, like, somebody to fill in this gap. Will you be our guy? You know, we're not bringing in somebody from the 47-year-old free agency list. Like, so, to those people out there that are hammering on the Sharks, and I know they're a Pacific Division team, and I shouldn't have a soft spot for them, but I do love an underdog story. I do, I do. And anytime the Sharks have been playing anybody this season, especially teams that I don't like, I'm like, I hope San Jose kicks their ass.
And then they don't.
right. But to that extent, I'm like, you know what? You tried. You showed up and you played, and that sometimes is all you can ask
for. An effort was made. That's all we can ask for.
Right.
I'm sad.
I'm with you, Jay. Like, you know, if you're gonna bark at who's rebuilding, like, at least bark about it evenly. Some teams have been, you know, so we have Bedard. Okay, well, where's your other 11 forwards? Like, you know,
I don't know.
It's like, you know, I know that people are like, oh my God, like, how is San Jose going to get people through the doors? And it's been really rough this whole season. And, you know,
giveaways.
But it's like, again, like the Hawks, you know, they have Bedard. Like, people are coming to watch Bedard. I'm sorry. We didn't get him. What, like, how is that our fault? And all last season, people were just like, how are the Sharks are like so bad? And it's like, yeah, we shouldn't have been. Like, the way that on paper, the way that the roster looked last season, we shouldn't have been but we were, and we could have been so much worse if Erik Karlsson hadn't just, you know, decided to hit the god mode in his career and gone on that, you know, Norris Trophy run. But like,
thanks, Karlsson.
The clip that I saw from Pierre Maguire's podcast, you know, he said they're in trouble. Anyone that says that they're believing in the rebuild in San Jose, their nose is growing by the second. And I don't understand how someone can look at this rebuild and only like the second year, and we haven't even really, like, we've had to tear it down over the years, because how else, and I kept saying this over and over again, like, what else would you expected them to do? Like, right. We can't just get rid of these contracts. Like, we're not in a position where, like, no one has to help us. We could have just been stuck with it and sucked with no hope moving forward. But it's like all season, we've been seeing these highlights, Quinton Musty, like Will Smith, Luca Cagnoni.
Something like
that. Luca Spisa. I think so.
No.
Hell no. No way. All these young up and coming, we're not like forcing them to like hurry up and get over here. And it's like, I will say, I did not listen to the whole podcast, because I'm just sorry. I'm just not, just from that little bit alone, like, it doesn't give me any reason to like, let me hear you out. It's like, no, you're already saying, oh my God, like, no one should believe in this rebuild. And it's like, no, screw you. I believe in this rebuild. Greer has only been able to have one draft year where he's been able to be at the helm to see those picks and who they go to. The one that he came in with when they hired him during the off season last season, those were already like all of those reports and all that stuff was ready to go for him. And, you know, he didn't really have too much of a say outside of those bits, I want to say, because the research was already done. But now it's like, upcoming to this draft season, unless we go on like a 12 game winning streak, not happening, like, it's looking like we could potentially be in the best position. And so I'm so exhausted seeing people being so hard on this team. It's so irritating.
Good rebuilds take time.
Take care of yourself. No, I mean, agree with everything you're saying. I think part of why people are so on the Blackhawks as well is that stupid bias of the original six teams thing as well. I don't know why people are so obsessed. Oh, original six team.
It's just they were just one of the first six teams to win the cup. People act like it's like some big, like, we were here first. And it's like, it really is not.
Like, cool,
it's
you've
not
been here
that.
For like over 100 years. Cool.
Right.
How is that our fault that nobody likes us over here?
You're ancient. Like, oh, good for you. Like, just newsflash, everybody. The Blackhawks have their AARP card. Just in case you needed that as like a level of superiority.
Yeah, the Sharks aren't old enough for that yet.
Right. Sharks
These
are still
teams
eating
are
on the
getting
kids
their
menu.
Social security.
The Sharks are still eligible for the 6-piece nugget with a toy, alright? So just calm down.
I think I'm hoping, because what do I know? I can't predict the future. I'm hoping that all of these haters...
Well, why the hell not, Nessa? Hurry up.
I'm sorry.
Get to it.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Develop that skill.
So I can tell you lottery numbers.
Yes.
I'm hoping that the Sharks... Like, I think they're building a pretty decent prospect pool. Okay. Even just the three that we named. But aside from that, even the like second rounders that Greer has picked or whoever, pretty decent. I'm hoping that all of these kids are gonna come up when they come up to the big leagues. They're gonna surprise everyone, because I don't think enough media folks outside of the Sharks are paying enough attention. I think it'll be cool to have all of them come up and be like dominating. They're all pretty cool.
Shut everybody up.
Yes. And then we can retweet this stupid thing and be like, what happened to not believing in the rebuild?
The biggest grudge I'm gonna have.
That's
remember this.
Like, good rebuilds take time. Like, good rebuilds take time. And everybody, I feel like, that's coming after the Sharks for whatever reason about, like, their rebuild isn't going to, like, what your idea of a Sharks rebuild should be. Like, would you want them to rush these guys before they're ready? And then they come in and they're an absolute fluke, or they can't handle the NHL, yeah. or they don't develop the right way. They just spend the rest of the years with the Barracuda, not seeing time with the big club.
That's a good point. I feel like the Sharks have been guilty of that in the past when they refused to admit that they were in a rebuild, and they would just call up the youngsters and before they were ready. And then they stunted their development because look where they are now, playing like overseas.
That's the same thing that happened. That's the same thing that happened when Benning was here, and we went through year after year. Like when we lost that 2014 season in the playoffs to the Kings, and it was okay. Well, now it's time. Like Henrik and Daniel are getting old. It's time for Bieksa to move. It's time for Burrows to move. It's time for Kessler to move. So when you get like that core group out, and then for years we were stuck in this cycle of like we would trade prospects for somebody that was supposed to come in and be a fix now. So we didn't have a prospect pool, or we were, you know, making trades for whoever the hell else was like could come in and fill in this gap, and then the prospects that we were developing were something that we were being used as like bargaining chips, and we weren't developing them. Or if we brought them in, we'd give them 4 or 5 like months in the A, and they would score like 6 goals, and like the leadership group was like, they're ready. They could come in and make an impact now. And it's like, no, like, look where that got us. Like, look what that got the Canucks organization such a fiasco for so long trying to rewrite the ship. Like, you want a rebuild to take time. You want to do those things where you're bringing in prospects, you're developing your prospects, you're making sure that they're at the absolute best level where the only way that they can improve is to bring them up to the big club and let them have an impact and learn it that way. Like, you know, Just PSA for everybody out there. Lay off the Sharks. They're trying to do it right. I commend the, I don't want to say slow moving, but the patience in the process, right? Like, if you don't have patience in the process, you're going to go through literally what the Canucks went through, which was 10 years of, like, we want to win now. And it's like, we didn't win those first 30 games of the season. Winning now doesn't solve a problem. Like, we have to be able to win consistently all the time and put together a group that does it. So, listen, let them cook. Let the Sharks cook.
Let them. They're on the slow cooker. I also want to point out that
they're in a crock pot.
The Sharks had like, yeah, exactly. They had like 6 like immovable contracts at one point or something. Like, how many do we have now? I think 2 like full ones with Vlasic and Couture. And yeah, we have like 3 of them where we're still paying partial, but it's better than having them attached to the salary cap now. Like, I don't understand why people are getting so butthurt over what the Sharks are doing. Like, you don't pay attention to this team. You're not a part of it in any way. You're not part of the front office. Like, drink some water.
Sit in the sun and eat a banana. You'll be fine.
Get some nourishment.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's like I feel like they're doing everything that they can. I mean, unfortunately, the contracts that Greer got stuck with, I mean, both Couture and Vlasic, and then the ones even before that, like Burns, Erik Karlsson, Tomas Hertl, they all had no move-in clauses. So you can't just be like, I'm shipping you over here. And it's like, no, I can't do that if I don't want to go. And they managed to make it work. And yeah, it might come at a cost at retaining salary, because again, the Sharks don't have the upper hand. They could simply just say, no, we don't want to trade with you. And then what we'd have, like, a bunch of aging guys on our team, and we would, you know, probably be like hanging out, you know, in the middle of the pack. Maybe on occasion we might look like we could slip into a wild card, but how does that help us in the long run where we're just like in this middle, like, limbo area? Like, we have to make those hard decisions of eating up some of the some of the salary, like taken some players that, you know, like all the bargaining aspects of it. And it's like, yeah, we may not have made a big splash in every move, but the fact that you move a huge contract for an aging player or a player that just does not fit in a team that is trying to build up from the bottom again. Like, I kept just thinking, like, what else would you have had them do? Again and again, like, what else? Like, I get it's frustrating, and then I get, like, it's such an easy target to, like, complain about the Sharks, because, yeah, it's, like, we're pretty awful right now, and it's not gonna be great for, like, you know, a while, but it's, like, I hate nonsense arguments about the Sharks being terrible and, like, they're not looking good for the future. It's like, no, I actually think we are. I'm actually pretty excited about some of these prospects.
Me too. I feel like it's been a while that I felt excited about this team, so let me have it.
Yeah.
It's so wild too, like, people who otherwise, like, let's be real, we're all fans of Western Conference specific teams that really, unless somebody has some wild stuff to say, like, they don't typically, like, national media, hockey media doesn't really touch the Canucks, they don't touch the Sharks. So it's so funny to me that, like, when something happens, like, for years it was, well, when the Canucks stopped being basement dwellers, well, now we're good, and everybody's like, I need you to be a basement dweller again. But, like, any other time, you weren't paying attention. And it's so wild for that, this, like, to be kind of, like, on the other side of it, and in its own way as a fan, is, like, now we're, you know, we've put together the pieces and we're kind of getting to where we should be, but then seeing everybody do the same thing to the Sharks. Well, the Sharks just aren't doing it right. The Sharks are taking their time. The Sharks, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, when were you paying attention before now? You know, like, for you to all of a sudden have an opinion about how or whether or not the future of this team is good, you weren't paying attention to the future, the past, or the present until they started tanking. Leave them alone. Them alone. You don't have anything.
You didn't like us before, don't like us now. Keep it moving.
Keep it moving. That's all I'm saying.
It's like, oh, they're the bottom of the standings. This is an easy story. Let me dunk on them for clicks and likes. And it's like, leave them alone. Leave the Sharks alone.
See, that's why I didn't listen to the full episode. I'm like, giving you a play.
No.
Who are you?
I'd rather record my own podcast.
Let me give you the inside scoop.
Just think about it this way, you guys. You'll get through this, right? And everybody is always going to have their 2 cents, and they're going to give it to you for free, and you'll be rich in pennies by the end of the process. But then
this podcast is trying to get profit off of these listens. We don't get anything for ours. So,
but once you get to the other side of it, and guys like Will Smith are ripping up the NHL, people are going to have so much to say, and it'll be like the razor's edge.
How are the Sharks
of every,
good?
Right, of everything they're saying now. And then, of course, the inevitable storyline. We remember when the Sharks sucked? We did. We don't talk about it. They're good now. It's one day, listen, all I hope for you guys when it comes to positivity amongst hockey fans is that one day you will get to experience the fruits of a good rebuild, so that the headlines aren't, what the hell are the Sharks doing? And it's more of like, what the hell are the Sharks doing?
What happened? We stopped paying attention. They're good again.
Surprise, you never really started.
Yeah. On a lighter note, wanted to quickly talk about a signing that the Sharks made this past week. Well, the Barracuda, really.
Not there yet.
What?
We're hopeful. We're not there yet.
What do you mean?
He got a PTO.
Oh, PTO. Sorry. Yes. So he got a PTO. Akeem. Okay. How do you say his last name? I feel like I say it wrong every time.
Akeem Aliyu.
Aliyu or Aliyu? Aliyu.
Because how Akeem. I thought it was said, and then Tara Sloan said it on the broadcast the other day, and I was like, oh, that is not how I thought it.
Okay, well, Akeem. He got a PTO with the San Jose Barracuda, which I wanted to bring up because Drew made a comment earlier in the discussion where he was like, they're not signing 40-year-old retired players. He's not 40. He's like 34.
He doesn't have his AARP card yet.
And he is signed to the AHL team. Or, sorry, potentially going to sign for the AHL team. I thought it was cool because he hasn't played hockey in a few seasons now because of everything that transpired with the stuff that he went through.
With everything.
Yes,
with the horrors.
So much. But yeah, I don't know. I want to know your guys' thoughts. I thought it was really exciting. I hope that he can get signed to the team. He'll be like a really good veteran presence for the young guys.
Dude, if he gets signed, I'm going to be there. I'm getting a jersey with his name on it. Just everything that this guy has been doing and everything that he's had to like deal with this sport that we all love and equally frustrating. The things that he's gone through, like I saw some idiot comments, you know, as we do on the socials of people saying, you know, oh, this is such a, you know, how do you call it? Basically implying that it's like a token PTO. Okay. I don't know how to like react to like people being like, this is a guy that is just trying to get a shot. We're not trying to say that he's going to be like the answer to the Sharks to accelerate this rebuild. Like, just admit that you're racist and that you're impatient with this rebuild, because why is that even necessary to say? This guy had a dream like any one of us that, you know, when you're a kid and you haven't been hit with the realities of life and things happened during, you know, we know infamously with Bill Peters, and even he had to have that trauma, you know, brought back up to the surface most recently this season where that guy like got hired for that junior team. And Akeem like didn't even realize that the person who had contacted him to get kind of like a vouch, a reference to, you know, and what little he said, and he didn't even realize that it had anything to do with this. And then they get on this panel and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry for whatever, heck, blah, blah, blah. Like, but, you know, thank God I finally, you know, get to coach in this sport again. It's like, through all of that, he gets this opportunity with the San Jose Barracuda. It's going to be great if he gets to sign. I hope people come out and watch him. I hope that, you know, something else comes out from it. But even if it doesn't, I don't think that they're thinking, you know, oh, this is such a great PR story. And because people were like, oh, there's some people who are saying like, oh, yeah, the Sharks really need people to come out, you know, to the games. And it's like, you're racist. Shut the hell up.
It's the Barracuda. It's not even the Sharks.
This is just a freaking hockey player who's just like, hey, can I have this opportunity? It's like, sure, why not? Like I said, he hasn't been signed yet. Nothing to deal with his skin color or whatever. I want to say it's going to have anything to do to influence it. It's just another hockey player that's just getting an opportunity, just like anyone else. Would you have said otherwise if this player was not black?
Okay, I have a
lot of things to get off my shoulders.
I have a question though. Like, but what if it was because he's black and Mike Greer is black and he wanted to give him an opportunity because of what he went through? Is that so wrong?
No, yeah, it's not.
You want to know, like, my instant reaction was like, and if that's the case, like, honestly, who gives a fuck? This is somebody that has been through way too much to just want to play. He's just a dude that wants to play hockey.
Right.
And it's not like the Sharks are signing anybody or giving anybody a PTO where it's like, hey, you're our meal ticket to figuring this all out and it all coming together. Like, that's deluded thinking. And it's crazy to me. It's like, this is woke. This is a woke thing that they're doing. First of all, might I depart the knowledge of geography on you as to where San Jose is? It's in probably what most people that say those kinds of things deem the wokest state in America. So, like, your argument already is flawed in certain regards. I just, who gives a shit? If he's a black guy, and they want to sign him because he's black, then that's fine. Are we not all preaching about hockey is for everyone? Here's just this dude who's been through way too much. He deserves a legitimate shot. And hopefully the Sharks can provide that. And if he comes in and he does a great job, let's just say he does fit in and he does have the veteran presence, what's the story then? DEI saved the San Jose Sharks? Well, Jesus. And I'd just like to follow up that message to something very pointed at the NFL. Now do Colin Kaepernick.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Who cares? He's a man. He wants to play hockey. He should have the same right to play hockey just as anybody else. And if the Sharks want to hopefully let that make that happen for him. Because again, he could come in and he could be like, "I'm sorry, I forgot to skate." Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just any realistic thing. He's like, "Legs don't move like they used to. Sorry, guys." Like, let him play, man. Let him get him a shot. If it works, it works. We put Phil Kessel on a PTO, so
that's a great point. I think Taro, actually posted when like he came in for his first day. She was like, he hasn't skipped a beat. He looks great out there. So that makes me even more excited, you know?
And, you know, he also looks really great in teal.
Everyone always looks so great in teal. It's such a great color.
I really hope, I truly, really hope he does, because, like, and gets, like, proper time with the big club, because I really am a sucker for those new third jerseys, and I will totally, totally rock one of his third jerseys. Like, unashamedly so. It's a perfect excuse for me to buy one.
Jay, we're converting all of our hockey friends into slight Sharks fans, and it makes me really happy.
Listen, if Akeem makes it up to the big club, he can totally have my spot on my Cali Finn jersey. I will totally give him that spot.
Because
you'd just be like, just everything that this guy, you know, from the Hockey Diversity Alliance to being outspoken about the racism and like the shit that he's had to deal with hockey culture, just like everything about it. It's like, even if he's like fourth line minutes, only spends that one season on his team, like, I don't care. This dude just like is so, it just, it makes me feel so great to see this guy like never, like, and not to say that people who've gone through a similar situation should like see this and be like, oh, see, that's why you shouldn't have quit. It's like everyone's got, you know, their own journey to have. But the fact that he's still found that spot in his heart that he still wants to reach his dream, reach that potential that I feel like was stolen away from him, like, I love that so much. I want to root so much for him.
And this has the chance to be another one of those really great, like, I use great here kind of loosely, but like stories that happen naturally in sports, right? Like, let's say, like, best case scenario, this is a guy that's been pretty much blacklisted for one reason or another from his dream. He gets to come in, say he does come in, and he makes an absolute impact, and he blows the roof off of everything. And it might not be the solution to the Sharks' problems, but it's one of those things where it's like, hey, that dude over there is doing some serious work, and he gets a chance to properly come into the league and show that he can fit in and make a good impact in the NHL. Like, what a great story that would be after everything that he's been through that's kept him away from this game, that even when he's been away from it, like you said, like Tara was like, he hasn't missed a beat. He's still very clearly dedicated to his craft. So, like, what a great sort of, like, stick it to the haters kind of storyline would that be? Like, the Sharks get this guy who, I wouldn't even say it's like a redemption chance. It's just the issues of the old boys club, right? It's like you didn't really you shouldn't have had to be up for a redemption chance in your career anyway. So you get this chance to come back and show people, like, I'm here, and I know my game, and I can play my game, and let's just say it works out for the Sharks. What a great, natural, just sports storyline. Like, you stuck with it. You didn't let the small-minded ignorance deter you. And when the opportunity came up, you made everything of it. Like, I'm here for it. And I hope, I really hope it works out that way. I really, really do. That's the kind of stuff, like, those sort of stories and, like, stories in sports, those are the things that get me excited about it. And that's the kind of stuff that every time, like, I've been following his, you know, all of the stuff about Hakeem for a little bit now, because the same thing, like, I would, like, be saying, like, to the NFL, do Kaepernick. Okay, yeah, now give Kaepernick a job. Kind of the same similar story, right? Like, they spoke out and said what they believed in and then got blacklisted from their dreams for some of the stupidest, most ignorant reasons. Like, those are the people I want to see win the most, especially in these kinds of situations. So, please, I'm just asking the universe, like, please just let it work out, because I would love that Cali fan jersey and like, support it with, like, so much, like, pride. Like, he overcame all of the BS that you guys threw at him, and he's doing things, and that's,
And he's going to be, like, key into helping the Sharks win the cup. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's start with him getting on the CUDA first, yeah. And then we'll work our way
up. We have big dreams for you, Hakeem. No pressure.
None.
Okay. Let's switch gears here, because I feel like we've been talking about the Sharks the whole time. How are we feeling about this Tom Wilson suspension thing? I'm upset just because he's on my fantasy team, but other than that, I mean, it's Tom Wilson, so.
How dare Tom Wilson do Tom Wilson things?
How dare he? To a former Shark.
I don't even know what he did. I just know that I seen the headline and I went, Tom Wilson.
Okay, to summarize, him and Noah Gregor, like, Gregor had the puck and Wilson came in to, you know, do a check, and Gregor's like, okay, well, that's over with. I'm going to continue going. But for some reason, Wilson's like, nah, that offends me. And even though he's saying, oh, it wasn't intentional, I didn't mean to do that, like, it looks bad still. And regardless of if you actually meant to do it or not, like, you still hit the guy in the face with your stick.
Yeah, he, like, swung it up at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked pretty intentional.
Yeah. And then the photos, and then if you watch the clip, it I'm glad that Gregor's fine. But it's kind of memeable, because then Wilson's like, "Oh no," and then he goes and hugs him. And then we were laughing about it offline, being like, "It's such a don't tell mom." No, stop crying.
Please don't let the Department of Player Safety hear about this, please.
And there's this other photo that was taken where the ref's coming over and Wilson's like, well, and it looks like he's trying to explain the situation. It's like, oh, Tom Wilson's talking to the cop, telling him, now, officer, I know what it looks like.
Good stuff.
It looks like I hit that man in the face with my stick. And I maybe did, but I also did not. Don't tell mom.
So on top of him being suspended, or I guess this is because he's suspended, he has to forfeit some of his salary. I don't know how much he makes. I didn't bother to look it up. But it says here that he's going to forfeit $161,458.32 for the 6 games he's going to be suspended. I especially like the 32 cents.
I love the arbitrary, like, sense that they put into the fine.
He's really, like, going to feel those 32 cents. He's like, no, not the 32 cents.
What would I ever do without that quarter? Nickel and two dimes.
This is what we've been asking for seasons. And I know that, like, in the past, he got that, what, like, almost 20-game suspension that got reduced down to, like, 14. I don't recall what it was related to, but for seasons, he was doing the, I'm going to hit this person as hard as I can. And, you know, rule book definition, I'm totally within the means and all that stuff to do it. But it, from a non-Caps fan perspective, it's kind of messed up when you look intentionally like you're just trying to get like the big impact, the big like wow factor behind it that potentially leads the player to be injured, to be concussed just by the impact alone. And it was what's so infuriating about when this guy would go about doing that and he wouldn't get anything. Because people are like, well, it's a clean legal check and whatever. It's like, yeah, but at what cost? And then right. I think at some point he did one or two things where they're like, oh, maybe we should like start giving a shit about how unnecessary this is.
I actually can tell you the cost, Jay. It's $161,000.
Sorry.
But like, so we've been talking a little bit on and off about, you know, Department of Player Safety. And, you know, for seasons, it's like, where does this one or two games, where does this like slap on the wrist? Where does this like, how are all of these like being handed out? Because it just seems like you just do a roulette and you're like, oh, well, I guess that guy getting hit in the face, that's $2,000 off your paycheck. It's that's like, just it's what like, the roulette thing says.
It's like Wheel of Fortune, you know? It's like you're spinning a wheel and then it lands on a name and it's like Vanna White's pulling Tom Wilson on the board, you know? Like, small fine.
I would almost enjoy that.
I would.
If that was their logic, I would almost enjoy that.
If that's how we could switch up the draft lottery, like, I would love that to happen. Let's just spin a wheel, see where it goes. The Blackhawks, inevitably, but...
Man, I'm so ready for them to give him freaking Celebrini because they don't deserve him. I'm already mentally preparing for that.
Also, I don't know if this is, like, on subject, but I don't really think the Department of Player Safety exists. I think it's, like, six possums in a trench coat with an access to a computer, you know?
And they just, like, crawl over the keyboard?
That's why we get, like, the arbitrary, like, 32 cents, because they're like, that looks like a human number. We put the cents behind it.
That makes sense. All right.
But, I would trust six possums in a trench coat more than the actual Department of Player Safety thing.
I don't blame you.
But I'm like surprised in a way that they had handed this out, but also like, okay, cool. Because he deserves it.
Right.
Because he's Tom freaking Wilson.
Jay, I think you and I were just talking about him in like last week's podcast about like he's it's just even if it's within the rule book, like some of it what he does is just excessive, right? Like we've all seen Tom Wilson pick up speed like he's running from the cops and like hit somebody at like impact car collision in just like a matter of like 10, like he has nothing better to do except for like close the distance as fast as he can and like put the shoulder into somebody. And then the defense every time that something like that reckless happens is, well, his shoulder hit his chest. It was a good hit, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, my man, he was running like a cheetah, full speed before that contact ever like happened. I don't know how you can't say that there's not some intention there. I get when you hit somebody, it's not like I'm not hitting you against the boards because I want to elicit a giggle. Like I'm trying to inflict some damage, but there is this level of like how you go about that physical play. I think that is like we were talking about last week, like defining intent to injure. I think there are some of those things like we've seen Tom Wilson do that are definitively, if you were going to hands down define what intent to injure is in the game of hockey, there are some of those actions that it's like your only intent there was to inflict maximum damage. You weren't coming over to have a pillow fight with this guy. Like, there was venom in the way that you strode across this ice and leveled him. So, I think... I don't know if they can go back and, like, retroactively fine. I'm not opposed to that idea in this regard. You know, how much was this again, Nessa? It was 161,000.
Oh, wait, let me find it. $458.32.
And 32 cents. That'll teach him.
On the topic of the Capitals, would you like to give us your thoughts on their cherry blossom jerseys?
Yeah, something less destructive than Tom Wilson.
It's actually very pleasant. These are pleasant.
Right. This is very pleasant on the eyes, unlike Tom Wilson's actions sometimes. These are the Capitals' new cherry blossom sweaters, which I've been to D.C. once in my life, actually. But for anybody that hasn't been to D.C., they have beautiful cherry blossom trees that spring up all throughout the U.S.'s capital. And I just... Man, these are, like, I seen these on Twitter, and I thought that these are a really good nod to D.C. and its local area and, like, the stuff that they have going on in D.C. But the one thing that I really love the most about these is the cherry blossom print inside the number on the back of the jersey. Like, it's just, it's really simple. It's not overdone. Like, you have the cherry blossoms popping up around the Capitals logo and then the extra, like, cherry blossom print inside the back number. I thought it was just a really cool little, like, specialty jersey that the Caps put out. Just something that looks really nice and really clean and is a nod to the local fan base and metro area there. So what are you guys' thoughts on these digs?
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's what we have this podcast notice? For.
Did you notice that these are trans colors?
Oh, no.
So straight up, I was just clicking into it, and I, like, looked at the three stars on the Capitals thing, and I was like, oh my god, these are trans cherry blossoms.
I was like, where agenda found its way into the cherry blossom specialty jersey.
That's that woke hockey being played in Washington, D.C.
How dare they? I was actually going to say, doesn't stop. I like the baby blue that they use, but I think these might have looked cleaner on a white one. Maybe yeah. It's just me. I don't mind it, but...
But it's trans colors.
No, I don't... Yeah, I don't know. I'm not against the trans colors. I was going to say that before you said your comment, so.
When Drew was talking, I was like, yeah, but, like, can we just talk about the trans... Like, I was just, like, engrossed, and I'm just like, those are trans colors. I was listening to you, but also I was like, can we get to that?
Yes.
Like, even the Capitals, like, wing, whatever that they call that thing.
The Screaming Eagle
wing, or yeah, that.
I don't remember what it's called.
That should be my nickname, Screaming Eagle.
Okay.
For unrelated. For mental health purposes, get your head out of the gutter.
Who has it in the gutter? It never went in there.
Yeah. We're on the other side of town. I don't know. You are lost.
Where did you go?
Drew blinked and was like, well, clearly they're not here yet. It's like, bro. We said the coffee shop on the other side of town.
All right, guys.
Nobody sent me proper directions.
Since y'all want to keep this pretty gay, do you want to talk about your Iceman jerseys?
Yeah. From one homoerotic thing to the other. Because
okay. Too much.
No, listen, I love, I know that the NHL has their fun police out, and they're not, you know, so big on giving us gay jerseys, but this one is the Iceman's, they still did Hockey is for All. I don't know
question.
What they did.
Does
sure.
It, does it give you hope?
You know,
Do you see what I did there?
I did. I seen that. I am on the borderline of, I don't know if I should be hopeful or not, because I think these jerseys are illegal in this state. But
yeah.
But no, I really, and to talk about the hope thing, I really did like that for that instance, right? Because of the plight, which is kind of sounds like a weird word to say, but you know, trans Americans in particular, trans Floridians have been going through it. We are up against a very ugly state legislature here in the state of Florida. And so I really loved seeing this, the tie-dye and the way that they used all the colors to bring it in, but then not going for a generic, you know, rainbow Iceman logo, which still appears in the word hope, but they did it to frame it, you know, in that sort of positive, optimistic way. And so I really like these. I will say that the ECHL, who has not shied away from having pride jerseys in any capacity, which kind of shocked me, the teams have been having, like, shout out to the Cincinnati Cyclones, the Kalamazoo Wings, the Utah Grizzlies. Those were the three teams I know right off the jump that had amazing pride jerseys in the E this year. And I really think that the Icemen did a good job with these hope jerseys. I really do. Because, like I said, we're up against a different sort of fight here in our state. I know that there's tons of other trans Americans that live in similar states having similar issues. And I thought that this was a really good nod by the team to say, like, you know, there might be people in this state that don't want you here, but you're welcome here. And we hope that that provides some hope, some community, something positive to look forward to, even if it's just like nobody else in this state might think that I deserve to be here, but my hockey team does. Like, that's still a really nice little positive message, I think, to put out. So I love them. I do think I don't know what this like weird infinity symbol or whatever it is that's behind. I'm not sure what that was about. That kind of feels
infinite
weird.
Hope, Drew. Infinite hope.
Well, let's be real. I don't know if that is a thing we can call upon, but no, it's a good looking sweater. It is, I like it, and I'm I will say it is. I did like last season's Iceman Pride jerseys better than this season's, but when I seen the hope thing, I got like misty eyed because I was like, the hockey wants us to have hope.
Okay, I'm gonna be a stick in the mud here. All for the messaging, all for it. You know that. Mm-hmm. Strictly on design alone, it's all right.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, it's not. I can't say I had like my wig pushed back or anything after looking at these.
You wear a wig?
I don't know if I use that properly. I was trying to be cool.
Look, I love the tie-dye. I wish more teams, designers would use tie-dye for pride things. I think it's fun. I think it's pretty spot on. I like that they use the tie-dye. I don't know if I like the actual design of how they place things on the jersey.
Yeah, it is weird. The one last year did have a better, I think, like, flow to it, so it made the jersey feel a little bit better. But the use of tie-dye, like, in the stripes, and then the tie-dye in the letters, I don't believe it shows it on the Twitter post, but even the numbers,
like,
on the back number plate were tie-dye.
What if they had tie-dye shoulders?
Yeah, like a shoulder thing, but was tie-dye?
Yeah.
That would
I feel
be
like it just feels empty there. Anyways, yeah. I'm just being a nerd.
But I don't know, I agree. It is like, if we were to rank Pride jerseys 1 through 10, this one is a strong... I give it a 7 because I like the generous message of hope.
We'd have to have, like, different categories of, like, scoring. Yeah.
Messaging, design alone. You gotta separate it.
Okay, mm-hmm. Messaging, they get like an 8 because, like, truthfully, how much hope can you have? It's Florida. Eventually, the state will fall into the ocean. But overall, execution, I give it like a 6.5.
I give it a 4.
Yeah.
And together, you have 10 and a half out of 10. So.
That's not how it works.
Could be.
Okay, we're not. You're not going to be a judge in anything.
That's some, like, elementary school, like, grading right there. Everyone's a winner.
And that's how we were raised. Participation trophies.
And then we grew up.
Come back later and I'll hand out orange slices for everybody.
That, oh my god, my favorite.
On this.
Okay, no, this is a great segue because... Oh, actually, Jay, did you want to give us your input?
On the AFC?
Oh, no, on the jerseys. Did you want to say anything about this before we switch?
Yeah, I mean, I like the messaging behind it. I like the fact that, you know, even a team that's in Florida is, you know, still putting out stuff like this. You know, we know what's going down out there right now, and like I wouldn't be surprised if a local team was kind of, you know, a little concerned about being loud. But I like that they've done this. I'm with Nessa on, like, aesthetically it's not particularly great. But, you know, they made a very good effort, and you get a star on your report card for that.
An effort was
no
made.
No number, just a star.
grade school grading.
That's true.
We tried.
As a side note, I will say this. Our governor, who shall not be named.
I was like, who's your governor? I already forgot.
I wish.
Sorry. I have the privilege. I'm on the other side of the country.
Eventually, I'll have that privilege, too, and I'll be like, what was that guy? That weird guy that ran the state? What was his name? Jacksonville is his hometown. Which is frightening and problematic for me for so many reasons. But and to put that in perspective, the Iceman still... doing a pride jersey with hope on the front
they
in
said,
rainbow.
Suck it.
Yeah. To me, I was like,
"Don't come home."
right. You're not welcome here. Hockey's for all, not you.
Little asterisk next to his name.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
All right, we're gonna stay on this gay topic, and we're gonna switch over to my favorite women's soccer. Because it's so gay.
The gayest.
No, let me tell you how gay this is. I went to a watch party in Oakland at a bar. Just wanted to go with a friend to watch some soccer.
You went to a pride event.
I went to
a soccer game workout.
Unintentionally, spontaneously went to a pride event. There were so many lesbians. I wasn't mad. I felt very comfy. It was. I didn't make any friends, though. I was too shy. But...
But did you see anyone cute?
I don't want to answer this question while we're recording.
What? Why not? Why not? So that's a yes then.
Nessa ducked completely out of frame. She's like, I believe the
He's like, oh my god, there are so many cute people there.
You can't, you guys.
I don't even actually know what happened during that game.
Because I am so shy. Look at it, I turned so red. Anyways, we watched soccer.
So many women smiled at her, and
no,
she's like,
not.
I'm going to get under this table now.
Don't look at me, please.
I don't know who's scoring in the game, but I know who I would like to score.
Okay, whoa. Whoa. Let's reel it back in.
Oh, you quit.
So, Bay FC.
I want you on my team.
I'm gonna wait for you guys to settle down here.
I'm putting together a roster.
Oh god.
Girl, you are an all-star.
Can you tin my net?
I want to witness you guys trying these pickup lines on some people. Tell me if they work. Are we good? Got it all out?
So that's exactly what happened, right? Because you're not saying no.
Absolutely, yes. I totally said all of those things. Anyways. So, BAFC has played their second game of the season. This is their inaugural season. Drew, if you didn't know, they're brand new. I forgot why I brought this up, you guys. Like, completely she threw me like, off.
Just remembering all those women.
Nope. It's not it. I just wanted to talk about soccer for a minute, honestly. I didn't get to watch their first game, but I did watch this one fully. I thought they were fun, but their defense sucks. Like, okay, I'm a Sharks fan. I understand what bad defense looks like. I've also played soccer before. Majority of the time, the ball was in their half of the field, like 95% of the game. It was a miracle that they were the first ones to score in the game. But what's her name? Oshuala? My favorite player. I've only watched one game. She's my favorite. She was basically the only one working out there. Like,
yeah.
She, at one point, she got fed up and she was knocking people over. She was screaming at her teammates. She's like, what the hell are you doing? Help me out. She got a really, really, really nice assist on the goal that that Bailey scored, I believe. I only know three players. And then, well, who are they playing? The Spirit. They ended up scoring, tying it, not like shortly after. They didn't keep the lead for long. The thing that really, I think it's a Bay Area thing. It's a Bay Area thing because.
Damn those women.
Okay, look, we talked about the Sharks, how they were winning 4-0. Stop it. God. The Sharks let the Blackhawks tie the game with 40 seconds left in the game. BAFC let the Spirit score with 30 seconds left in the game, and they ended up losing. And it was so frustrating. But it's like, I'm not surprised what time they were playing.
I mean, okay, look. So when I was saying earlier before we hopped on, like, this team, you know, it's very similar to the Sharks, got put together, you know, most of the roster had changed, you know, by the time the season started. It's their first year. They don't have a U.S. national team women's, like, roster player on there. I think that's one of the things that they're trying to see if they can get, because, you know, you like Oshawala, you kind of need that veteran presence. And, you know, I haven't really been following very closely in terms of, like, you know, where like people who makes it to the professional level, like the quote unquote, like the development, like areas of the country, or, you know, across the world and whatever. So a lot of it is like me also still learning, like, who are all these players, and, like, you know, who should we be excited about? Like, I think, you know, Savvy King, we got her second overall in the draft. She looks like she's got a very good, you know, ceiling for her career. She's quite young, so I don't imagine that she's going to be one of, you know, like the equivalent of like a Connor Bedard that's going to be leading the charge. But the first game I did watch it, and similar to what you said, Nessa, they spent most of their time defending. And, like, that's a little, like, concerning, because they, yeah, like, you might want to be on the other end of the field. But I kind of, like, expected that, you know, because they'd only been training, you know, as a team for a very short period of time. And, you know, I guess maybe that has something to do with it. And, you know, like, I think just in general, I'm just really excited to just kind of be on this journey with the team.
For sure.
And, you know, it's been something I've been wanting for years, to have a team here in the Bay Area. Freaking SoCal's got, like, what, two teams? They've got two teams down there.
Yeah.
San Diego and LA. Yeah. So, yeah, we've needed one here. And, like, even the teams down there, like, we played we played our first game against what's the freaking name of the LAT? Angel City. Mm-hmm. Angel City, and they got last season what's her face from the national team? She used to be on Pride. Anyways, they've got like a handful of like U.S. national team players down there. They have freaking Alyssa Thompson, I believe. So they've got, you know, the fact that we even won that game, even though, like, you know, it was like they got a really good opportunity. They took advantage of it. And then for the rest of the game, they were in their defensive zone. Like, but they held off, you know, as much as they could. And we got the win. And it was like a really great moment. Like, do I expect this team to, like, be really great and, you know, get to, you know, to playoffs or, you know, the equivalent of what that looks like? Not really, but I'm here to just experience the journey with
for
them.
For sure. I'm just being critical because, like, there were some things out there that I was questioning. Like, mm-hmm. What are you doing? Why did you make that decision?
Yeah.
But it is what it is. I'm still a fan. I'm just a hater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Drew, do you watch soccer?
I love soccer. I actually found soccer and hockey at the same time in my life. Soccer was much more accessible than hockey was, so I, you know, started playing, and I've been playing. I still play. I play recreationally, so I play all the time.
What position?
I'm a right back. I thrive at defense. I don't like to run, but I can kick the ball, and that is just perfect for me. I've been super excited about women's soccer. I almost said women's hockey, about women's soccer in particular, because, like, Jacksonville is getting a team here. Like, I know, like soccer is, like, really growing all over the U.S. with the MLS still developing. Jacksonville's about to get two pro teams, one in the Nationals Women's League, and then one the MLS development team is coming. They're going to come here, so... I'm super stoked about it. I follow, like, the Premier League over in England, and I follow, you know, those guys. I need to follow some domestic teams. And I do just, I'm going to be honest, as somebody that grew up playing, I do really like the absolute viciousness of women's soccer. Because, like, the dudes are out there, and it's like, if you just look at their feet the wrong way, it's like, oh my god, I twisted my ankle, like, flopping on the ground. But women are like, I will break your collarbone if you run at me with that ball one more time. It's vicious. And I love it. I need to, so I'm down to adopt Bay FC and their failing defensive strategies.
Come on, on this roller coaster with us.
Always
that reminds me, Washington Spirit has Trinity Rodman.
Oh my gosh, she's so good. I think I'm a fan.
And I remember when I think they were doing friendlies before the season started, and I think it was against Brazil, and I think her and another player on the other side of the field were like getting into it here and there. So when Drew was talking about how they're just like, I will break you. Like, that's what I was thinking of. I was like, Trinity Rodman during that friendly.
I love it, man. It's the same way. It's the same thing with, like, women's hockey. And they're like, no, you can't hit. Meanwhile, they're like, I'm rubbing you out along the boards. Like, it's my puck. I love it. I love that viciousness.
And then I also remember... Angel City has, I remember her name now, Sin Liru. That's who they have. So, we need somebody.
Yeah.
Need somebody on our Bay FC team.
Yeah. What's appealing about the Bay Area? It's expensive as hell. Like, how are you going to bring someone here?
Okay. Not sure that's the podcast for solving those problems. I got to solve that in my personal life.
Yeah, same.
Tune back in on Wednesday where we talk about over the glass economics. It's just
tips on staying afloat.
We don't have any, so if you have some, submit them to us. We'll use them.
Oh my god. Anyways, do you guys have any, like, closing things you want to put out into the world? concerns.
I'm no, really concerned. I
think so. On next episode, Nessa will tell us about those women.
Nessa will tell you about the prospects she scouted.
Okay, wow. I'm ending this. This is enough. I've had enough. Whoa. All right. That's all we have for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your co-host, Nessa.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Drew.
Yeah. Okay, join us next week, I guess. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.